Morning again. All right. As David said, a few years back, I brought this message, but I just have to say, I really did my due diligence, and I even got my outline to Diane early, but you know the Lord has a sense of humor, and so this morning he tweaked it a little. So if the slides don't follow along exactly, bear with us, okay? The Holy Spirit's up to something good. Amen? All right. So I just want to start with a story about myself. A lot of you know me, some of you don't, but Christmas for me was not always a wonderful time. How many here today, and you don't have to raise your hand, but Christmas is a struggle for you. It's not the happiest time of the year. It's actually kind of depressing and a downer. And so I get that, because for me growing up, Christmas wasn't a good time. Because of my mom's situation, Christmas was full of fear, displacement, anger, just demonic activity. She was a manic depressant schizophrenic, and for whatever reason around the Christmas season, she would have a nervous breakdown. And I would end up in a stranger's home or in the back of a police car or whatever. And so that was growing up what Christmas was. It was just always a scary time. And so that time of year just became very subconsciously unsettled. Does that make sense? Okay, and so, and then Christmas, I grew up not knowing really much about Jesus. Christmas was more about Santa, the lie about Santa Claus and about the gifts, right? Now, let me just say, fairy tales and monetary gifts don't take the pain and trauma away. Amen? All right. So, as I came to the Lord in 91, I actually started learning about what Christmas was truly all about, which was the birth of Jesus Christ and everything. Everybody say everything that represents, because there's so much that represents for us. And I began learning and loving the fact of Christmas. But it took time for me to open up to the reality of what Jesus had died for and what he came to the earth for as a baby in a manger, and grew up knowing he was headed to the cross. It took a while for me to receive that and receive that inner healing and deliverance that he died for me to have. But hallelujah, here I am. Amen. So how this message came to be was, I like to get up very early in the dark hours of the morning and spend time with the Lord. And I was gazing into the Christmas tree. And our Christmas tree is decorated with everything about Jesus. Okay, as I expressed, the tree represents the cross. The lights represent the fact that Jesus is the light of the world. Our ornaments have everything to do with the nativity. I got sheep. I got shepherds, I got cows, I got, you know, wise men, I got it all. And I've got many ornaments that are nativity. And as I gazed into the Christmas tree, I marveled, I focused in on this one ornament that was the nativity, and it was, and I really focused in on Mary. And I think Catholics overdo Mary. But we don't give Mary enough credit. And I just started marveling at the courage and the boldness and the faith of this young girl. And so that led me to this message, because it's almost like the Holy Spirit just started downloading the miracle of Mary. And so that's what I want to share with you today. Does anybody need a miracle in your life? Does anybody have an area in their life where you really need God to move, or you would like God to move? Amen? And we all do, right? It could be your finances. It could be a relationship. It could be your health. Fill in the blank. And I'm here to tell you today, the Mary miracle is just a reality for you as it was for Mary before Christ was born. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Luke 1:26. While you're doing that, let me just say, because of Jesus, Everybody say, Jesus, we can have merry miracles in our life. Amen? So I want to talk today about how you can have that merry miracle. And I'm just going to start reading. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled. And I have in parentheses here, perplexed at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in the womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, which I get this, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month of her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it to be according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So what I want to do, it's okay to read the Bible in church, amen? All right, I know this is a little bit more than you normally, you know, read on a Sunday morning, but it is good to read the Bible in church. So I want to pull out five factors out of this passage today that can really apply to our lives, all right? Number one, we, like Mary, are highly favored and blessed. We, like Mary, are highly favored and blessed. It says here, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Now, if we go to Psalms 5:12, "For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous." How many are righteous here today? Raise your hand. Okay. How many are righteous here today? Raise your hand. Okay, how many are, if you're born again, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He calls you righteous. How many of you are righteous here today? Okay, thank you very much. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor, you will surround him with a shield. Again, that's Psalms 5:12. Out of this, the Hebrew word is rason. Hopefully I pronounce that. Sounds French, but rason. Translated to favor. All right. Now, what this word means in the Hebrew is acceptance, good pleasure, delight, approval, and satisfaction. This is what you have, folks. You have God's acceptance, good pleasure, delight, approval, and satisfaction. Amen. I just might preach myself happy because I've been meditating on this, okay? And then favor, if you look it up just in the dictionary, just the plain old website dictionary. Webster, well, okay. Means approval, support, or a liking for someone. Hey, do you know that God likes you? Amen. Chosen, goodwill and kindness, benevolence, friendliness, support, and stand up for. How many of you know Jesus Christ is standing up for you in the heavenly realms? Amen. You have favor of the Lord. Oh, and this is good. An act of kindness beyond what is due or usual. Meaning you don't really deserve it, but you got it. Amen. All right. So Ephesians 3 through 6. And this is the Amplified. Blessed and worthy of praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ. Just as in his love, he chose us in Christ, actually selected us for himself as his own before the foundation of the world, so that we would be holy, that is, consecrated, set apart for him, purpose driven, and blameless in his sight. Excuse me. In love, he predestined and lovingly planned for us to be adopted to himself as his own children through Jesus Christ, in accordance with the kind intention and good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace and favor, which he so freely bestowed on us in the beloved, his son, Jesus Christ. Wow, yeah, hallelujah. So, you know, sometimes we say, bless you, or I am blessed, and do we ever really break down or understand really what a word means? This is why I brought favor. We talk about favor, but now you really know what favor is. Well, let's talk about blessed. Blessed is divinely or happily, favored. There's that word again. Fortunate to have, do, or experience something. That's what blessed means. To be favored by God. To experience inner peace and happiness, or to be fully satisfied. In the New Testament, blessed means to be favored by God, the source of all blessings. Yikes! We are favored and we are blessed. It's like the 1-2 punch. Amen? Oh, you guys are just not getting this, I don't think. But here we go. Here it is. In Christ, you are chosen. You are blessed. You are blameless. You have purpose. You have grace. And you have favor. Yeah. You have it. Because of Christ. Not because of any good deeds of your own, other than the fact that you accepted Jesus Christ in your heart. You accepted him as Lord. As in, you're the boss, Lord. And Savior. It's not just a little prayer that gets you to heaven. This is about a lifestyle. This is about a way of life. This is coming under the great I Am. Amen? Dick Mills put it this way. God's favor is to bask in the sunshine of his smile of approval. You have the favor of the Lord and you bask in the smile of his favor. The problem is we just don't think about it that way. We see our faults, our failures, and whatnots. So do me a favor. Say this after me. I am highly accepted, blessed, and favored by the Lord. Let's say that again. I am highly accepted, blessed, and favored by the Lord. Doesn't that feel good? So what you just did was confess some truth. Doesn't matter what you feel like. This is the truth. Amen? So having God's favor is having his goodwill and being in a position to receive his benefits. All we need to do is really start acknowledging it, rejoicing in it, and walking in it. Amen? Renew our minds to the truth of God's word. That's what we need to do. You're not that old person anymore. You are a new creation. You are favored and you are blessed and you are equipped. You have the grace of God poured out upon you. Amen? He is with you, he is in you, and he is for you. Hallelujah. Just like he was Mary. Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Thank you, Mary. So I wish you a Merry Christmas, M-A-R-Y, that you may grab hold of who you are, a child of God, that the Lord is with you, that you are highly favored, and that you are highly blessed. Amen? Amen? And number two, this is good, hallelujah, at least for me, I don't know about you, you don't have to be perfect. Thank God. there was only one perfect one, and his name was Jesus Christ. Mary's virginity did not provide the holiness to which the miracle could happen. She needed to be untouched sexually, yes, but that wasn't the catalyst. Mary was not perfect or sinless, because there was only one perfect one, and that was Jesus Christ. Amen? So just by the sheer fact she was human, she had sin in her life. So she wasn't perfect. Despite her faults, she was open and willing to allowing God to do whatever. She yielded her life and will to God when the angel came. She could have said no. How many of you would have said no? How many of you would just like, thanks, but no thanks. Not for me. I want to live my own life. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, she said, let it be done to me according to your word. What does this tell me? This tells me that she had a true fear of the Lord. When that angel came, there was something in Mary that had a true fear of the Lord. If we think the Mary miracle can only happen if we are perfect, most of us will give up, because perfection, folks, does not exist except for in the person of Jesus Christ. But it does require humility and fear of the Lord in our life. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Psalms 33:8-9, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants stand in awe. For he spoke and it came to be. Wow. He commanded, and it stood forth. Do we stop anymore to think about the power and awe of God? That when he spoke, something that did not exist all of a sudden started to exist? He commanded the stars. He spoke things into existence. He has all the answers. He is God. He is the power. He could squash us if he wanted to. He could. And I think there's a good, healthy fear that he could squash us. I believe the church across the world has lost the fear of the Lord. The authentic, yeah, fear of the Lord. We need that to come back. I need more of that. I have it. I've had it. But I want more of it. Because as we fear the Lord in the awe and splendor and majesty of who he is, the glory, and oh yeah, a little fear and trembling too. Because I think when you get in the sheer magnitude of the presence of God, that kind of power will shake you to the core. Does that make sense? Or is it just me? 2 Corinthians 7:1, the New Living Translation. Because we have these promises, dear friends, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or spirit, and let us work toward complete holiness, because we fear God. We have reverence for him. And we appreciate what he did, and we're willing to do our part. Amen? Are you following me? Joy Dawson, she was a Bible scholar, teacher, missionary, says it like this. The fear of the Lord should produce in us the same attitude towards sin that God has, which is to hate it. It should also give us a deep respect for the understanding of the holiness of God. The holiness of God. He is a holy God. Church, we got to quit bringing God down to our level. And we need to rise to his. Amen? It should give us a deep respect for an understanding of the holiness of God, the power of God, and the sufficiency of God to meet man's need. The sufficiency of God. God is sufficient. Amen. So this 26-year-old woman, definitely not sinless, yet I was open to whatever God wanted to do. I don't know why, but I had a real fear of the Lord when I came. And when he said, you need to change your ways and come unto me, man, that was it. It was like, it was over. Whatever you want to do, Lord, be it unto me. Now, it wasn't easy. I lost friends, or people I thought were friends. I lost somewhat of I didn't have a good reputation in some areas and then in other areas because I was very respected in the medical community and whatnot and this and that. You know, all of a sudden I became a Jesus freak. That changes people's opinion of you sometimes, and not for the better. But it was okay. I was okay with that. Amen? A true fear of the Lord leads to obedience. Let me say this again. A true fear of the Lord leads to obedience, no matter what. No matter what. We have it easy here. There's people in other countries, you know, if they accept Christ, they're going to lose their life. If they accept Christ, their family disowns them. We have a hard time giving up our sexual sin for Jesus Christ here. What is that? I call that not true fear of the Lord. Amen? I'm going to say it again. A true fear of the Lord leads to obedience. No matter what, you're going to lay it down. You're going to lay it down because he laid it all down for you. Amen? So I wish you a Merry Christmas so that as you open up to him, to his will, you receive all that he has for you, knowing you don't have to be perfect. I pray that you would pursue a deeper sense of the fear of the Lord that leads to obedience. Amen? And number three, with God, life and light can come out of darkness. With God, life and light can come out of darkness. You have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth. A virgin conceived, right? Her womb was a dark, lifeless pocket sealed off by her virginity. Life was born in the dark pocket when light and life entered by the word of the Lord, and the darkness began to breathe with life. What is your dark pocket? What is your dark pocket place that light and the power of God needs to enter? We all have a pocket. It might not be the womb, but we have a dark pocket place that we need to allow the power of God to enter and bring his light and life, which brings change. Amen? This young woman at the age of 26 actually started to grasp the true meaning of Christmas. The fact that it was about a Savior that was born and came in a very humble fashion. And I began to be open to the miracles that God wanted to do in my life. He wanted to touch those pockets, those dark pockets in my heart because of trauma, because of abandonment, because of abuse. Because of my independence and my rebellion, he wanted to touch those deep pocket plates. And I said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. His goal, his desire, his will is to turn our ashes to beauty. Amen? And he does that. And he can do that every day in your life. And he's done it in my life, and he continues to do it. Amen? I wish you a Merry Christmas, that in the dark pockets in your life, there would enter the seed of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit would fill you until you abound in his light and life, or life and light. And let me just say, you can't do that with apart from the written Word of God. This isn't just some hocus pocus prayer. Oh Lord, you know, no. Get into the word. Because you're not going to grow any more past the word that you know and the word that you apply to your life. Amen. Number four, Miracles happen in the impossible. Miracles happen in the impossible. That's where miracles happen. So if you have an impossibility, you're a prime candidate. Hallelujah. Mary's virginity represents the impossibility, humanly speaking, of the situation. That's what her virginity spoke to. It was impossible to get pregnant, is it not? Last I checked. So there was a human impossibility. Your situation might be humanly impossible, at least in your mind. We need to see her virginity as hopeless as it was. All right? Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. With God, all things are possible." With God and the Holy Spirit and the power, all things are possible. Amen? So whatever situation in your life that you say it's hopeless, I counter that. And I say, all things are possible. Amen? What seems impossible to you is not, everybody say, is not, impossible with God. So what is your poverty pocket? What is your poverty pocket in your life? What is it? What is something in your life that seems impossible or hopeless? You really need to identify it, because without identifying it, God won't do a thing with it. Because it takes our acknowledgement of it. It takes us going to the Lord and saying, hey, right? The Mary miracle is something that is available to all of us, but it does require identification of the dark pocket place. That poverty pocket of your own life where the riches of the Lord need to enter. And it really does take the light of God to enter. Amen? It's that place where you come to the end of yourself. It's that place where you surrender. It's that place where you say, I got nothing. And you say, okay, be it unto me as you say, Lord. How many are a candidate to come to the end of yourself today? I am. I wish you a Merry Christmas as you identify your dark pocket and the human impossibility of your situation. I pray you surrender and see all things are possible with God. Excuse me. Number 5. Miracles involve risk. Miracles involve risk. Mary would lose her reputation, hands down. You're pregnant, then you've sinned. She's going to lose her reputation, even though she was sinless. But that was the reputation she was going to get. She may lose friends and relatives. What if Joseph didn't believe her? What if Joseph didn't cover her? She would have been stoned. She would have been killed. He could have had her stoned. So her life was literally on the line. Is your life on the line? To believe what God has called you to believe and called you to do? What if the sheer risk of the unknown in the future, the details, it's cloudy. We don't know. We don't know how it's going to work out. She didn't know how it's going to work out. She just knew the angel came and said, you're going to be, you know, you're going to, the Holy Spirit's going to conceive and you're going to have a baby, right? She didn't know how it was all going to work out. She had no idea, but she knew the risk to some degree. Amen? So I wish you a Merry Christmas, that you would have boldness and courage to take hold of what is yours, no matter what the cost. The rich young ruler was not willing to give up anything, and he missed out. Don't miss out. Amen? So now, there's two main reasons, or hindrances, to the Mary miracle in our lives. And I want to share those with you because if we can get over these hindrances, I believe we can really open up to Mary miracles in our life and have a Merry Christmas, a Merry life, a blessed and favored life that God died and wants us to have. Amen? Are you interested in that? Are you interested in walking in the favor and the blessings of God? Are you interested? You know, you've got so many blessings stored up for you that you could call upon, but there are conditions to those blessings. Amen? Excuse me. I am so sorry. I don't know why I got this frog in my throat. I brought my pet today, and his name's Frog. All right. So two main hindrances to the miracle. Number one, reason and logic. Reason and logic. It says that she cast in her mind. Casting in the mind is an attempt to reason things out, to understand it logically, like how is this going to work? How, you know, all the way from A to Z. Reason and logic. It's the hurdle we all trip over to some degree, some more than others. In order to receive a miracle, there is a basic principle I want to share with you today. The sooner we learn, the sooner we receive the flow of the Holy Spirit moving in our life, the sooner we receive the light and a breakthrough in our life. Do you want to know the principle? The principle is quit trying to figure it out. Quit trying to figure out how it's going to get done. He didn't call you to try to figure it out. He just called us to trust Him and to walk in obedience to His word and ways. You don't have to know. Just get over it. The sooner we do, the better it will be. Oh, that we could be released from the bondage of having to figure it out. Oh, that we could be released from the bondage of reason and logic. How many of you know reason and logic and miracles and faith don't play nice together? It's like oil and water. It doesn't work, folks. It doesn't work. Mary thinks, whoa, this is beyond me. And I'm like, yeah, it is. Your situation is beyond you, but it's not beyond God. Remember? Nothing is impossible with God. So don't try to figure it out. Just thank God that nothing is impossible with Him. Thank God that He has the power to speak the world into existence. Amen? I invite you away from your mental rationalizations. Come out of your mental rationalizations. Allow yourself to have a mind bypass. Allow the Holy Spirit to bypass your reason and logic and all that. Away from the limiting reasoning that brings you into the corner of doubt, fear, unbelief that leads to absolute nothingness. I invite you out of that. Easier said than done, mind you. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and applying it and acting out on it. It's better to do that than to end up in the barrenness of your womb in a corner with your reason and logic. Amen? You can have your reason and logic, but you're not going to have the miracle. You got to choose. Amen? So how do we do this? We must bring our intellectual abilities under the control of the Holy Spirit. We must bring our intellectual abilities under the control of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. His Word is truth. We need to bring them there instead of our mind dictating to us what truth is. It's called being Spirit-led. We need to be Spirit-led, amen? 2 Corinthians 10:4 commands us to pull down strongholds, cast down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's what we're talking about. The enemy's hitting you with your reason and logic. Reason and logic isn't all that, quite frankly. I mean, yeah, you need it in daily life, but when it comes to miracles and the move of God, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Word of God. We need to take our thoughts captive, because the enemy will use your reason and logic and intelligence to keep you barren. Amen? As long as the mind is worshipped above the Word of God, there can only be struggling, reasoning, and rationalizing. Let me say that again. As long as the mind is worshipped above the Word of God, there can only be struggling, reasoning, and rationalizing. You will work yourself weary into the same dead end where you've been 1,000 times before. That's not what God wants for us. That's not what God has for us. Childlike faith. I have a 2-year-old grandson. That kid, you know, he just believes everything. It's awesome. We are to believe everything that the Word of God has with that childlike faith. And he trusts me. He trusts us. Let's get to that place where we do say, like Mary, be it as you say, Lord. And we take those thoughts, those rationalizations, those vain imaginations, and we chuck them out. And we replace them with the truth of the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Mary said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to your word." We need to say, "Be it unto me according to your word, Lord. And I will take these thoughts captive. I will cast them out. I will bring them under the obedience of Jesus Christ," which is what? The Word of God. Amen? So I wish you a Merry Christmas, that you would be spirit-led and not, led by reason and logic. That you would say, like Mary, "Be it unto me according to your word." And last, but certainly not least, the second hindrance is doubt, fear, and unbelief. Doubt, fear, and unbelief. It was at least 3 months before there was any physical signs in Mary of what had happened. Would you agree? Yes. Yeah. Amen. Out of the mouths of babes and infants. There was the encounter. There was the confirmation with the angel using Elizabeth, her cousin, and the barrenness of her and how she was pregnant. There was a confirmation of that, but there was no sign. There was no sign. Nothing had changed. Everything was the same. But yet the miracle had been conceived, just not yet birthed. What would have happened if Mary would have just said, "I don't believe, I don't see, nothing's happening. I think I had a dream, I ate pizza. Maybe it's really not God's will." Could it have been a possible miscarriage of the miracle? Is that why? What was Elizabeth's husband's name? Zechariah. Is that why Zechariah's mouth was sealed? Because God knew the heart. He knows our hearts. He knew Zechariah's heart. He knew Zechariah would go off at the mouth. He knew he would curse it. He knew he would possibly abort it. So he sealed his mouth. Because of why? Because of Zechariah's doubt, possible fear, and definitely unbelief. We need to watch what we say. We need to put a guard on our mouth by the power of the Holy Spirit. How many miracles are miscarried in our lives because of our doubt, fear, and unbelief? You have faith the size of a mustard seed that can move mountains. So I don't think it's a faith problem. I think it's a doubt, fear, and unbelief problem. If you start dealing with that, you might be surprised what could happen. Amen? The angel pointed out Elizabeth's pregnancy as an encouragement to Mary, not doubt, but believe in the miracle. Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and that is now the sixth month of her who was called barren. Again, for with God, nothing is impossible. We need to look to others' miracles as an encouragement to us. And not in a competitive mindset of why not me. I'm going to say that again. We need to look to others' miracles as a possibility of our own. If he did it, because God has he's no respecter of persons. If he did it in Carol, he'll do it for me. I'm not going to be jealous of Carol. I'm going to use Carol as a springboard of what God can and wants to do in my life. Amen. So right now I take authority over all the spirits of doubt, fear, and unbelief in you right now in Jesus' name. I take authority over those lying spirits, and I commanded to leave you and loose you in Jesus' name. And I release the Holy Spirit. I release that mustard seed faith to grow in Jesus' name. And I wish you a Merry Christmas, that your faith and trust in God would grow, and doubt, fear, and unbelief would no longer dictate. That faith and patience, oh glory, would have a perfect work in you until time of delivery. Amen? So in conclusion, the miracle of Christ's conception and birth, which is Christmas, is a time of celebration. It is a time of miracles. It is a time of hope. It is a time of healing. It is a time where God has brought deliverance for the broken heart and the broken life. The Mary miracle was just the beginning. You can have a Mary miracle in your Christmas season, in your life, in the days to come. Because Emmanuel, God is with us, and he is for us. Amen? Amen. And so I wish you a Merry Christmas. That this Christmas you will see it differently. That maybe you will even see the Christmas tree differently. You know what I love about God is he goes to the lowly. You know who he revealed himself first? Shepherds. I mean, the angel appeared to shepherds. The guys out in the field tending the sheep. And they were the first to be able to see the birth of Jesus Christ. So wherever you're at today, no matter how low you are, no matter where you think you are, God, the miracle of Mary is for you. Amen? Emmanuel, God with us. If you're here today and you don't know what the heck I'm talking about because you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let me just say the miracle of Mary is for you. She went through that so she could birth that baby, so you could accept that baby, so you could be saved, so your life could be different. Not easy, not perfect, but better. But it does take you acknowledging Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the Savior. And it does take you accepting him as your Lord and Savior. And that means some changes. That means it's not just a simple prayer. It means, yeah, I see, I'm lost, I'm a sinner, and I need the Savior. There's only one, by the way. I don't care what Oprah says, there's only one. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ in your heart, if you have never accepted him as your Lord and Savior, all you got to do is raise your hand. That's the start. That's the beginning. It's a beautiful birthing. It's a birth. It's a new birth. And then all the blessings of heaven, all the righteousness of God, all the favor of God is showered upon you to live the life he's called you to live. But your first step is accepting him and acknowledging him and confessing that you are a sinner and you need a savior. Is there any candidates here today for that? Okay. Did you get anything out of this message today? If you need a breakthrough, you're equipped. If you need a miracle, you've heard the word. God's grace is sufficient. His power is powerful. But I want to invite you, if you're struggling, if you like Bobby, I sure could use a prayer in this situation, I'm inviting you up today. We have a ministry team. I'm inviting the ministering team to come up. We want to pray with you. You know, it's not always about what you can pray on your own. Sometimes you need a team to pray with you. That's why God put us in the family. There's some things I haven't been able, many things I haven't been able to get through on my own. I needed the body of Christ to pray with me. I needed somebody to come alongside me. I needed to get transparent. I needed to let them know my sins. I needed to let them know my failures. I needed to do that. And you're going to need to do that, folks. It's just the way God set it up. I don't know why. I don't try to figure it out. I just be obedient. That's it. It's really not that hard. But remember, it takes humility. Is there anybody? Well, here's the thing. I know there's a bunch of you. Because you're just not that perfect. But that's okay. All right, here we go. I know there's more. I know there's more. I know there's more. Now, let me just say, we're going to be praying for these guys. And I'm going to excuse the rest of you. But I actually am inviting you to stay in your seats and pray and intercede for them. But if you do choose to leave, please respect the anointing and what's going on up here and do your fellowship outside the doors. Can you do that? That's fair. We have a great family room where all that can take place. Thank you, Lord. So for those of you that aren't coming up that I know need a miracle and a breakthrough and so on and so forth, please take these principles and start working them. You know, the word works if you work the word. It really does. And here's the thing. You heard a good message today. You hear them every Sunday. It's not just me. But you are responsible to apply what you've heard. It's true. It's just the word. I'm just the messenger. Don't shoot the messenger. So apply it. That's all I'm saying. Apply it. Amen. Okay, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to bless you. And I do truly 110% wish you a merry, merry, merry Christmas. Father, I thank you for the miracles that you have set up for us to have. I thank you, Lord, for the breakthroughs that you want us to have in your name and by your power. I thank you, Lord, for your favor and your blessing upon our lives. Lord, help us to enter in. Help us to get over our reason and logic. Help us to deal with doubt, fear, and unbelief. Help us, Lord, just to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and the Word of God and say, be it unto me as you say. And Lord, in all things, we magnify you, we praise you, we glorify you because you are a God that deserves it. Help us, Lord, to go deeper and to have more fear of the Lord. To know you more. And we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord bless you.